Isn't the butler's pantry kept locked? Ben whispered. He was following me through the darkened dining room, carrying the candle I'd brought down with me. Not after dinner. The footman doesn't lock up the plate until he makes his final rounds at midnight.
I wonder how John knew that.
The butler's pantry was below stairs, off the back stairs landing, halfway between the ground floor and the servants' quarters. I swung open the door, revealing the narrow little room. On one wall of shelves stood our silver, from the dining room candlesticks to Mama's engraved tea service, while the shelves on the other wall held the china and crystal. A stout linen cupboard occupied the far end of the room. Ben held the candle aloft. He had nice hands, big and strong, with long, graceful fingers. He wore a heavy gold signet ring, the only ornament I could detect amidst the plainness of his clothing.
"Not many places to hide in here," he said, surveying the room.
He peered into the corners, studied the shelves, and checked inside the cupboard. Then he snuffed out the candle between his finger and thumb, plunging the room into blackness.
"What are you?"
Alarmed, I realized I was alone in a dark, out-of-the-way room with a near stranger a scarce 2.5 hours after a murder had been committed, and not another soul knew where I was.
"If they spot the light, they'll know someone is here."
"Oh, of course."
Just then, we heard the sound of footsteps coming down the stairs. I looked about wildly for a place to conceal myself, but in the darkness, I couldn't see where to go.
"In here,"
Ben said, seizing my arm and pushing me into the linen cupboard. He stepped in after me, pulling the door closed behind us.
"But..."
"Shh."
I held my tongue as directed. It was pitch black, and cramped in the cupboard, with only a narrow space between the doors and the shelving. But I could sense him beside me, his greater size, his body heat, the barely audible rhythm of his breathing. Presently, I heard the creak of the pantry door. Then, voices.
"Do you have it?"
demanded John Mainsforth's smooth baritone.
"Not yet,"
Helen answered in an unsteady voice.
"I haven't been able to leave the house. I was going to tell Sam as much, but..."
She gave a sob, and for once it sounded genuine.
"We mustn't keep them waiting," John said sharply. "It's clear enough. They mean business."
"I know. I was planning to slip out this afternoon, but Daddy called. So I was going to have Sam stall them with a note, but I couldn't even give him the message because Teddy stayed to dinner. Then Sam must have come looking for me, and they must have followed him here, and... Oh, it's too awful to think about. Poor Sam. What a perfectly nightmarish day this has been, and to top it all off, just when I finally had a moment to myself, Barbara came to my bedroom to pump me for information about Benningborough."
I nearly made a squawk of objection, but Ben sensed it in time to clap a hand over my mouth.
"Isn't there anything you can give them?"
John asked.
"A piece of jewellery, or something else of value?"
"I was going to pawn my pearls, though they're not worth much, especially since I've broken the catch. Barbara is the one with all the money. She was always Grandmama's favourite, so of course she got the fortune."
I was surprised to hear myself described as anyone's favourite. I'd always assumed Grandmama Merton left me her fortune because I was the eldest girl.
"Well, can't you borrow the money from her?" John asked.
"From Barbara?"
Helen sounded utterly flabbergasted.
"You don't know my sister. She already thinks me a feather brain. If she knew I was being blackmailed..."
"Blackmailed?"
I gave such a start, I nearly toppled against the cupboard door.
Ben's arm came around me, as strong as iron, holding me steady.
"I still say you should go to Teddy for the money," John urged Helen. "Just make up some excuse. He has a generous allowance."